This is Jay Sekulow. We've got breaking news, a brand new lawsuit against the United States Department of State.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
My purpose in appearing before you today is to assert that in my judgment, Daesh is responsible for genocide against groups in areas under its control, including Yazidis, Christians, and Shia Muslims. Daesh is genocidal by self-proclamation, by ideology, and by actions in what it says, what it believes, and what it does. I want to be clear. I am neither judge, nor prosecutor, nor jury with respect to the allegations of genocide, crimes against humanity, and ethnic cleansing by specific persons. Ultimately, the full facts must be brought to light by an independent investigation and through formal legal determination made by a competent court or tribunal. But the United States will strongly support efforts to collect, document, preserve, and analyze the evidence of atrocities. And we will do all we can to see that the perpetrators are held accountable.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We must bear in mind, after all, that the best response to genocide is a reaffirmation of the fundamental right to survive of every group targeted for destruction.
Our most effective response to terror and to hatred is compassion, it's unity, and it's love.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Hope you had a good weekend. So the Secretary of State says he's not going to be the judge and jury on the issue of genocide. He acknowledges that there's genocide of Christians, of Yazidis, of Sunni Muslims, by these groups in Shia, but he doesn't want to be judge and jury. And then you have the Attorney General of the United States saying the way you respond to terrorism is through love and compassion. That hasn't worked out too well, and it hasn't worked out too well in multiple fronts. In fact, I just left a briefing in our media center here with one of our senior counsels, CeCe Heil, who is working on a situation for girls that have escaped Boko Haram. This is the terror group that operates in North Africa. This is an ongoing problem. We are working on behalf, it looks like we're working on representation for three young women, 22 years of age. But this idea that, you know, he's not going to be the judge and jury, the problem is we can't figure out, other than saying it's genocide, exactly, Jordan, what the State Department has actually done here.
That's right, because though he is correct technically in the sense that the U.S. cannot just invoke the Genocide Convention and cause the entire world to take action, the U.S. is one of the key permanent five members of the Security Council that can do just that. So while we can actually be our own judge and jury and then bring it to the Security Council and say, we have as a country determined, and we are the most active country in the fight against ISIS, next to us probably would be Russia, but we have determined, and I think Russia may go along with this because they also want to get rid of ISIS. So Russia, again, I don't think they would be an issue. I'm not sure China would be an issue. I don't see a problem on this, on the permanent members of the Security Council, but those are not the type of countries that are going to bring it forward. It's the U.S.
Right.
And why the administration won't do it, you know why. When you invoke that convention, it's not just to punish. It does give you that ability later to punish these people, all people, funders of ISIS, the fighters, but it makes you have to go in and prevent it, which means you got to do more than just drop bombs.
So we are filing today a federal lawsuit for our friends on Facebook, Periscope, and ACLJ.org. You're actually seeing, I'm holding it in my hand right now, and it's American Center for Law and Justice versus the United States Department of State. Here's what we're requesting, and part of this. We know that the genocide, there's genocide under international law. We know, of course, that Christians and others are clearly the victim. That's absolutely undeniable. We, in July, sent the Freedom of Information Act request to the Department of State demanding the answer to this key question. We requested information that will show any action that the Obama administration has taken or is planning to take in response to the ongoing ISIS genocide. Any action that the administration has taken regarding genocide. We think right now the answer is zero. That's why we're in federal court, and that's why we're fighting back, because, folks, Christians are dying by the moment and others. And what's the administration doing? Apologizing for America. We'll take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
Yep, you can join us right now on Facebook and Periscope as well. Facebook.com/JaySekulow. Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow. We're broadcasting live there right now as well as on ACLJ.org. But on those social media outlets, you can get your comments in that way as well. And we take some of those on the air. But if you want to get your voice heard right now, 1-800-684-3110. Lines are open right now.
It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Yeah, this is over. Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So we're announcing that the ACLJ is filing a lawsuit today against the State Department. You know, it finally... Secretary Kerry decided to label what's taking place by ISIS as genocide. And while we're glad about that, I mean, that's obviously a positive development. The fact is, we can't determine through our offices in New York, through our UN operations overseas, that they've actually done anything. And there are legal mechanisms that can be put in place once a genocide designation, Jordan, takes place. But right now, we're in federal court. Here's the lawsuit, because we can't figure out anything other than lip service that this administration's done. It's almost as if they're embarrassed to do something about this.
That's right. They can go to the UN Security Council. We are a permanent member. We are leading the battle against ISIS, even if we don't believe we're doing enough, as we are still doing more than any other country. Right. Individually. And again, number two would be Russia, also a permanent member. They want to defeat ISIS for different reasons, right. But they still want to defeat ISIS. So I don't think they'd have an issue standing in the way of labeling this genocide. But we have to go and present this. China's not going to do that. I don't believe that Russia will do that on their own. The UK and France usually take the lead from the United States on this. And why? Because if you invoke this, we all have to be prepared. If you invoke the Convention on the Crime of Genocide, which requires UN members who are members of that treaty both to prevent the genocide, which means you'd have to take more action, including probably on the ground, not just an air campaign, setting up those safe havens that we've talked about so we don't have refugee flows so massive into Europe and then even into America, which yeah. We've now hit that 10,000 mark with only 0.5% being Christians that have come to America. But you'd have to set up the safe havens, and then later on gives you the right to punish better. But so we are the country that would take this forward at the UN,
yep.
And that's the issue. We call it genocide through our leaders, but we haven't done anything at the UN about it.
Let me tell you something from the lawsuit, because obviously we don't just talk about it on this broadcast. We're taking action here. And on May 23rd of this year, we sent a letter to Secretary Kerry and a couple days later to Ambassador Samantha Powers, requesting that defendant raise the issue of ISIS genocide against Christian and other religious and ethnic minorities at the 32nd session of the UN's Human Rights Council in June of 2016. Now, they had acknowledged on June 6th, after a lot of pressure from our office, that in fact genocide was continuing and intensifying. But in its fact sheet, U.S. outcomes at the UN Human Rights Council, there is no mention made of any effort to raise or advance the issue of ISIS genocide against Christians in Syria or others for that matter. And that comes from the State Department's own website. Nor was there any mention made in statements delivered by the U.S. representatives to the U.S. to the UN's Human Rights Council. Nothing specific. So we have now filed suit to find out what we're missing. Is it all lip service with this administration? We're taking your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. This is a big issue. We're in court on this today. Logan, what do we have?
Yeah, this comes in from Cheryl. She said, it seems our government is worried more about how we are viewed in the world other than doing what is right. That was from Cheryl on Facebook.
Yep.
Did you comment on that?
Yeah, I wanted to play. Well, I'll get you one more comment. I'm going to play John Kerry's comment because it tells you there's a lot in this packed in this 32 seconds.
I want to be clear. I am neither judge nor prosecutor nor jury with respect to the allegations of genocide, crimes against humanity, and ethnic cleansing by specific persons.
Let me stop right there. We are the United States of America. We are members of the P5, the permanent five at the United Nations, and we cannot be judge nor prosecutor nor jury when we know, in fact, during this is going on. This is the administration saying, oh, it's, then how do we know it's genocide if you're not the jury? You said it's genocide. How do you know it's, but you're not the jury? A jury would decide if it was genocide. Of course it's genocide.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, so we have a situation, you can't call it that as a Secretary of State. Say that genocide is happening, labeling the specific groups. He talks about the Shiite Muslims. He talks about Yazidis. He talks about Christians. He did that months ago. You can't do that because if you are the Secretary of State, you have now judged and juried, which is fine. I mean, that's his role as the top American diplomat. Then what do you do next? If you believe that truly, and you're not just, again, doing this because of public pressure, and there was a lot of public pressure to acknowledge this, then you've got to go to the U.S. government, and you've got to tell them, straight up, you've got to go to the UN and say, we want to recognize this officially as genocide. We want to invoke the Convention on the Crime and the Punishment and Prevention of Genocide. But the U.S. hasn't done that yet.
Yep. Let's go ahead and take a phone call, Logan. Here, we're taking calls at 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead.
All right. If you're joining us on Facebook, by the way, we'll be up again shortly. Just give us a moment.
Little outage.
Let's go to Robert in Maryland, line one.
Hey, Robert.
Hi, Jordan, Logan, and Jay. I wanted to ask the question, what's the purpose and also the aim of the lawsuit of the ACLJ is filing against the U.S. State Department? And I also wanted to make a quick comment in relationship to that. One of the reasons why the State Department and the Obama administration doesn't act more decisively against the Islamic State, in particular, and Islamic terrorism in general, is because they believe that America is guilty of past crimes that this country has committed, such as slavery, you know, preventing women from voting at one time, and a whole host of other things. And they also have a very anti-colonialist view that they believe America is a part of that.
Correct.
But there's also a moral relativism that's involved here as well. Many of the people in the Obama administration don't believe in an objective standard of right and wrong that has been taught in our school systems in the United States of America for the past 50 years unopposed because prayer was taken out of school as well as Bible reading.
Here's what you got, Robert. You raised a good point. So, you know, here's the moral equivalence issue, and I think this is part of the problem. They say that it's genocide, and that was only after a tremendous amount of pressure from us. I mean, our offices in Washington, Strasbourg, France, New York. I mean, a lot of pressure going on. And they finally say, yes, it's genocide. But then you got John Kerry saying, well, I'm not judge or jury. Well, you just said it's genocide. So you've made a determination that it's genocide. So then you ask Robert, which is a good question, what is the purpose of the lawsuit? The purpose of the lawsuit is to find out what the State Department has done, which we suspect is going to show that they've done absolutely nothing. And in that regard, when they've done absolutely nothing, we then have that information, which we can take from the court to the court of public opinion and show the hypocrisy of what's going on here when it's genocide. And that's why you file a federal lawsuit and you don't let just them mouth words that don't mean anything.
Yeah, especially if you care about this issue. If you believe that ISIS, as we do, and we've kind of laid out this case, has now committed this crime of genocide and that it's ongoing. It's not just happened in the past, but it's ongoing as we speak. And not just Christians, but Christians were importantly, we had to fight to make sure Christians were included in this.
Yeah, a big fight.
Because really they only want to acknowledge Shia Muslims and Yazidis.
And even Yazidis, they were hesitant.
And it was because, you know, ISIS makes distinctions between people of the book, Jews and Christians, versus Yazidis, which they declare is kind of a cultish witchcraft. And because of that, they sometimes, not all the time, sometimes will allow Christians to exist. Now, they destroy the churches, but survive if they
usually
pay the tax.
Slavery.
And kind of a slavery. And so they were trying to make a distinction. But that is genocide, actually.
Yep.
That actually covers that as well when you're totally destroying a place. As we've talked about, there may not be a place for Christians ever to return to Syria because their villages have been destroyed. That is one of the elements of genocide, one of the points. If you're doing that, that is considered genocide. if you believe that, we've got to push our government. And we don't have time on this. This is not like you wait till the next administration and hope things change. This is one, honestly, where you've got a more left-leaning administration. If they were to actually take this to the UN, they may have a better opportunity getting the Russians and other countries on board. There's only four other countries other than the U.S. that can veto something.
Let me say we are requesting all records, communications, briefings prepared and reviewed by Department of State officials regarding the designation of genocide as it relates to ISIS, ISIL, and or Daesh, because that's how they pronounce it. We're asking for any actions taken showing that. So it's a very comprehensive lawsuit in that regard. All right, Logan, you want to get a comment in
here? It's an interesting comment you can touch on from Dwayne, who said, Dwayne said, should we be rescuing all Christians as the Jewish people did all over the world years ago to bring their people home? So that's a question coming in from Dwayne.
Well, look, I think we're the United States of America, and we can't simply ignore what is happening. We've got a situation right now that we're working on. I mean, this morning, I mentioned the girls coming out of Boko Haram, which is usually Jordan's sex slavery, right? Sex trafficking.
Yeah, I mean, Boko Haram, like Al-Shabaab, Boko Haram is more in, you know, northwest Africa.
Yeah.
Also has allied themselves with ISIS, like Al-Shabaab has in the East Africa. And in West Africa, Boko Haram has carried out these atrocities. Nigeria, and the U.S. government's been very critical of Nigeria.
Right.
For fighting back, including, by the way, a Muslim. They have, it's a 50-50 mix there of Muslims and Christians.
Right.
Even Muslims who have been fighting back. And the U.S., what are we doing? We're telling the Nigerian military they're being too tough on Boko Haram and not really letting them, as usual, fully unleash the power of their military to defeat Boko Haram. Remember the French had to get involved
exactly.
in Mali to get Boko Haram out because they were massacring people. So this is a real issue. It's not, don't just, when you hear about even now ISIS terror, you do not just think about Syria and Iraq. It's expanding through not just East Africa, North Africa as well, and of course into Europe.
Yeah, and of course we've seen it in the U.S. also.
Sure.
All right, here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with the Military Freedom of Religion Foundation and their nonsense that's going on. And then we're going to turn to the last 30 minutes of the broadcast to some more politics. So again, if you want to call us, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're talking about the situation right now on genocide. I've got an email that's out today. We are in the last 3 days of our matching challenge campaign. We're within $70,000 of striking distance, so we could beat last year, I think. If everybody that has not yet supported us, any online amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for it, ACLJ.org. You've been very, very generous. So, again, go to ACLJ.org and help us out. That'll be a huge benefit.
We go to calls. Just found out.
Okay, no problem. We've got a little technical issue going on here at the studio where our power went out, but we can't take calls. But we can talk to you, our radio audience, and our friends on satellite radio, Sirius XM as well. Remember, we're here for another 30 minutes. We've got a piece up right now by Wes Smith, our senior military analyst, who is also a colonel, a chaplain in the United States Army, retired. It's called The Stark Contrast Between the Work of the ACLJ and the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. That's Mikey Weinstein's group. Before I get Wes in this, Jordan has been, you coined our angry atheist statement. This one involves, by the way, a major who had the audacity to have a Bible opened on his desk. We'll get into the details of what this meant, but go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, first. I mean, we know the angry atheist organizations, and I include Mikey's group, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. It's part of this. They go along with kind of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. I mean, they kind of share the same kind of acronym type names, all in this goal to eradicate religion from the public sphere. So in Mikey's case, it's in the military, even though we've had this history of chaplains. Or what's on someone's desk, even though, we all as Americans, even though those who serve and volunteer to serve do give up some rights and freedoms, not the freedom to believe in their own faith. And we have a diverse military with lots of different faith and people who have no faith at all, and that's fine. These groups all, their goal is, again, these are not separation of church and state groups. These are get rid of the church groups. And their focus, by the way, is never on the Muslims. It's never on. It's never on the other faiths. They're fine with that. The Satanist groups, even that, they're fine with those.
Yeah, they're not so hot about Christians.
Always,
they're not too wild about the Jewish rabbis
the
either.
It's Christians.
Yeah.
It's not the Wiccans.
Right.
It's the Christians that they have the problem with.
So let's take a look, Wes, at this one. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the latest, and you follow this closely. So, what's at stake at this particular case? Which we've already sent a letter off, and I think the military's already cleared the guy, but Mikey's still protesting pretty hard.
Right. After the military cleared him, he has filed a FOIA request and a complaint with the Air Force Inspector General, which we are following up on as well. Yeah. But Major Lewis is a field grade officer at Space Command in Colorado Springs. For years, he's had an open Bible on his desk. It is his desk in his own personal office. And so someone took a picture of it, sent it to Mikey. Now he demanded an investigation and that the major be aggressively punished for violating.
I'm going to talk about, first of all, the idea that someone went in your office and took a picture of the Bible on your desk should outrage everybody that's listening to this broadcast.
Yeah, I mean, you have to
certainly
wonder, too. I mean, did that person even have authority to enter his office? Is that a lower-ranking person? Or did they have the right to even
be there? Do you have the right to take pictures on somebody's desk?
On a military base, even?
Well, plus, there are all kinds of books that I've seen in my years in the military on people's desk.
Yeah.
He was not preaching to people. He wasn't reading the Bible to people. It was his Bible on his desk. And of course, when the Air Force launched the investigation, and they did a thorough investigation, they found out that it did not violate Air Force regulations. They cleared the major. He had taken the Bible off of his desk during the investigation. After he was cleared, he put it back on. And that's when Mikey really got fired
up. So now Mikey's filing a Freedom of Information Act request. We're responding to this as well. But Wes, I asked you this before we went on the air. We do a briefing before we go on the air, how we get everybody together. And I said, one time he showed he wanted visible punishment to some group. Mm-hmm. This time he calls for aggressive punishment for this major.
Right.
I mean, first of all, is that even appropriate? And what does that even mean?
That is nowhere in the military manual for courts martial or anything else in our regulations. We punish people. Aggressive punishment is not a term, and we don't do that.
All right, you've got a piece up, The Stark Contrast Between the Work of the ACLJ and versus the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Obviously, we're going to be toe-to-toe in this case involving this major. Give us the kind of the summary of that, and then I want to ask you a question about Iran. We've got an update on that naval situation.
Right. Well, where we are now, Mikey continues to try and press for the major to be punished, and it's all in process now through official Air Force channels.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the. We talked last week, Jordan, about the what the Iranian Navy through the Revolutionary Guard is harassing our troops and our ships. And you said that this is a test, and then Wes is going to give you some specifics here. But my concern has been from the outset of this, folks, that what you've got going on, and I think it's unequivocal, I don't think you can deny this, is the Russians are using the Iranians as a proxy to embarrass us, to show us that, to show the world we are weak. And I think that's part of what's going on here.
It's absolutely to test how far they can go, how much risk they can put Americans, our servicemen and women who have the right to be in this strait. They have the right to be in the Persian Gulf. We weren't interfering in Iranian territory at all. Just like their boats also have the ability to, they can be there. But when you take these confrontational steps, you're testing how far can we push, how much danger can we put American servicemen and women in as the Iranian, their Revolutionary Guard and their fast boats before they'll take action. And what we already know is that they'll even board a ship, take them hostage, take them into the, Iran.
And it's violated international law and that they, by showing them.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. And so we know they'll go that far. Yep. They haven't gone to the point of actually trying to kill, but they are taking out maneuvers that are dangerous enough that there could be loss of life.
I want to talk about that, Wes, because you've broken down three incidents last week of what they did. And one of these, you had vessels blowing the warning signs five times, which is an international maritime signal to get out of the way. Those warnings were completely ignored. You had approachments. These boats have speeds, their boats, the Iranian boats, have speeds up to what? 86 miles an hour, 75 knots.
Right.
So this is serious harassment.
Well, it is very serious, and the U.S. Navy does not know what their intent is always, other than to humiliate. These boats are made largely of fiberglass, the Iranian boats. They have a low profile in the water, and they carry anti-ship missiles that travel 2 to 3 miles. And so before the weapons on the Navy ship can even engage them, they could still launch an attack. So there is real danger here against U.S. sailors.
So we had 60 last year. You've calculated this, and 30 so far this year.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And only three have been reported.
Yeah. And
technically,
and three, you heard that, folks. 30 so far have happened this year with the Iranians since the deal, and three have been reported.
Yeah, I've tweeted it out just since 2016, just since January. These confrontations are up 50% this year alone. So than previous confrontations we've had with Iran in the Persian Gulf.
Go ahead.
Well, and also I would submit, Jordan, that in addition to trying to humiliate us and this new pact between Iran and Russia, I believe that this also serves as a distraction, because while this is going on in the Straits of Hormuz and in the Arabian Gulf, the Russians are amassing troops all around Ukraine.
Yep.
And so we can only engage in so many places. And yep. I think it's also a strategic distraction for the U.S.
But there's also something we're pointing out, folks, which you're not getting analysis elsewhere a lot on this. And Wes is pointing this out, and that it could be that Khomeini, the Ayatollah, is trying to undermine Rouhani, who's deemed to be a little bit more moderate. And some of that could be going as well.
Yes, it absolutely could. They're coming up to a presidential election as well. The present president, Rouhani, is seen as a moderate. Of course, Khomeini, the supreme leader, is not. And Khomeini, the supreme leader, is the one who controls the Iran Revolutionary Guards. And they're the ones that control the
Navy. And
they're
talking about a return to the previous precedent of Iran, which will create a whole note. Wes, we appreciate the update on that, folks. Wes's article is up at ACLJ.org. Let me encourage you here to read it. The stark contrast between the work of the ACLJ and the Military Religious Freedom Foundation is up at ACLJ.org. Folks, here's what we've got. We're here for another 30 minutes. If you're not getting the full hour of the broadcast, SiriusXM gets in a number of stations. Unfortunately, right now it looks like website's down because of an electrical issue, but we're broadcasting. And again, support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Win that matching challenge campaign. That's ACLJ.org. Your support is doubled. So any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for at ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
It's the most lawless administration in history. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
talked about the genocide issue. We talked about the Military Freedom from Religion Foundation and what's going on there. And now we return our conversation to the politics of the moment. Let me first get, Logan, you have any comments that came in? Let's grab a couple of those. And then, Jordan, I want to get a kind of a general political statement on where you think things are. And then I want to talk about the Daily Caller's report about that Gilbert Chaudhry guy.
Yeah, a lot of people are chiming in about the administration. Catherine said the administration has done nothing to stop genocide. Another comment that said, when are you filing your federal lawsuit and how long will it take?
Okay, federal lawsuit has been filed. I suspect that's being filed today, I should say. They have 30 days to answer. They will file an answer. They will probably try to seek more time. They may raise some defenses. So I think this will be litigated for the next 60 to 90 days. We're already in the state against the State Department on another matter. We've sued Homeland Security. So we are, folks, we're going to find this out. It's not just finding out what emails were sent. We're going to find out what actions were taken. It kind of takes it to the next step. So that lawsuit's being filed today. All right. The Daily Caller reports that the billionaire Clinton Foundation donor Gilbert Chaudhry was denied entry into the United States at least twice because of alleged terror ties with a Lebanese organization that has allegedly given money to Hezbollah, according to the Los Angeles Times. The Clinton campaign denies that a 2009 email exchange between Doug Band, that's the head of the Clinton Foundation, and Humana Abedin, suggests there was any quid pro quo between the foundation and the apparent request for favors by Chaudhry. Chaudhry pledged $1 billion to the Clinton Global Initiative. To me, it looks like that the State Department under Hillary Clinton was the government affairs office of the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah, and not just pay to play for normal businessmen, but even pay to play for funders of terrorism. This guy was stopped a few years ago on the tarmac at JFK, his private jet, and not allowed entry into the United States. And then last year was denied a visa for entry into the United States because his funding of Hezbollah backed candidates. Now, I want to point out, this is interesting to note, and it shows you about the complication in the Middle East. He himself is a Lebanese Christian. The candidate he was funding is technically a Christian. But as we know from Syria, many of the Orthodox Christians have aligned themselves with any of the non-ISIS-backed Islamic groups. So in Syria, for instance, the Christians are aligned with Assad and Iran. In Lebanon, same thing. They're aligned with Hezbollah, an Iranian proxy, because to fight against the largest oppressor of Christians, which is, yes, the Shias can be bad, but the Sunnis, especially with ISIS, much worse. So he has directly funded Hezbollah, been banned from the United States, denied entry twice, yet, you know, pledged $1 billion, so likely they got $1 billion,
right?
Because Doug Band was writing to Huma in 2009 how important this phone call was for her to make to him to talk about Lebanese issues. Like, we should be taking advice from a guy who funds Hezbollah about Lebanon. She said, oh, yeah, you know, we'll make it happen.
Huma Abedin, she would probably agree with them. She would agree with Chaudhry and his group. Here's what's interesting. In our brand new book, Unholy Alliance, which will be out in the store September 20th. You can order it now at Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books, Amazon. You can pre-order it. Help us get it on the New York Times list. We have a whole section on the Lebanese Civil War and the birth of Hezbollah. Civil War starting in 1975, really going on still today. But between 1975 and 1990, you see the birth of Hezbollah. Then you've got this Clinton donation funder who is allegedly giving terror money to Hezbollah, a designated terror group in the United States. And let me take it then one step further on this, folks. And I think this is really important for you to understand. This is part of an ongoing question of what was going on at that Clinton Foundation. And that, to me, fundamentally raises the issue of who was in control of that foundation from the outset. And I'll tell you, we're going to get more into it. We're going to be taking a break. Logan's going to let you know the ways you can engage with us right now. But also, we want to encourage people. We do have some comments we'll get to when we come back from the break. We've got a lot more to discuss.
That's right. You can get your comments in on Facebook and on Periscope, or really right now, Facebook. We're having some technical difficulties with Periscope. Just log into Facebook. You'll see the video of this show. Just go in and comment, and we can get your comments on the air. And again, that's the greatest way to do it. Later on, you can catch this show archived on the ACLJ app and on ACLJ.org, and of course on the JCKO Live podcast.
Yep, folks, and don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. We're in the last 3 days here. We've got some ground to make up, and I want to beat last year. Very important we do that. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and Jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Well, people are sending us emojis and likes, yeah. And that's on Facebook and Periscope, and we're doing Facebook and Periscope literally in the dark as our power went out.
Just Facebook, because I'm actually just running it from my phone.
Yeah, so Logan's running it from his phone, but we are doing our radio audiences with us, so we're thrilled about that. We've been talking about a lot of issues. ABC News reports that emails indicate that the Clinton Foundation officials worked with the State Department to ensure that there was preferential seating given at State Department lunches with Chinese President Hu Jintao, scheduled in January of 2011. Not shocking there, but it looks like to me, Jordan, at the end of the day, and we're going to get into the politics of where we see things, it looks like the State Department was kind of the government affairs office for the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so you got a situation where, and hello everybody in the dark who's watching through our Periscope feed, we are able to broadcast our radio broadcast still for all you in the station. It's no different, though we aren't able to take phone calls right now. We are live in our studio in the dark, basically. We've got our phone lights on. But the key here is that with all of these email releases, this should be the focus of the campaign right now. And yet again, as I've said so many times this week, though it gets some attention, yeah, and it's coming from the mainstream media, ABC News. You know, these are again, this is not the right-wing media, the conservative media. This is the mainstream media. What is the focus this week? What is Donald Trump going to say Wednesday on immigration? Because it's become so muddled, his own surrogates aren't even sure. I even saw Mike Pence, who's a good friend of ours, wasn't exactly clear. He said, we're going to hear it from Donald Trump's own mouth at his event. So hopefully, maybe by Wednesday, Donald Trump, when he does this event in Arizona, is going to have such a clear policy announced on this that there won't be this confusion. Because anytime the media, I mean, Donald Trump is right to some extent. Anytime the media can hit the Republican candidate, they're going to. They're going to always hit the conservative, whether it's Donald Trump or it was Mitt Romney. They are definitely biased. And so if you give them opportunities to hit, they are going to hit as well.
So what you've got is this is being reported that Donald Trump's going to give a major speech on the issue of immigration on Wednesday in Arizona, which, of course, has been a hotbed for the whole immigration issue.
His top two supporters on this issue, the governor, Jan Brewer of Arizona, and then Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who both take very hard-line positions on illegal immigration because Arizona faces this issue.
Yeah. So I think what we have to realize here is that we're entering the portion of the campaign where it gets very serious in the next week, because once you get past the Labor Day holiday, it starts counting. Now, Hillary Clinton is getting a daily barrage, even from the mainstream media, on the email issues. And the question is, how much is that going to take? I mean, where does that lead? I mean, it was just last week that the media reported, and we've analyzed, that Huma Abedin was on the masthead of a Muslim affairs journal that said horrible things about Jews, horrible things about Israel, horrible things about the United States, horrible things about 9/11. And she's on the masthead. And, you know, she kind of gets a pass on this, Jordan, but there is a cumulative aspect of this, although the polls are indicating right now that there's still Hillary Clinton's doing very well in the battleground states.
Yeah, that's right. And so far we haven't seen a major shift away. That's tightened in some. I expect this race to be very close until the end. I think that we are a very divided country, that it is true to some extent that some Trump voters will not necessarily be broadcasting that live to everybody. They're not going to have the Trump T-shirt or a Trump hat on, or a bumper sticker, maybe never a yard sign, but they'll end up making, you know, but when the choice is really between Hillary Clinton or Trump, they'll end up going with Trump. So I think that it will remain fairly close, but we have not been able to see the Trump campaign yet pivot to a full-on assault on Hillary Clinton and these problems. Instead, Donald Trump's having to clear up, and this now has gone on for almost 10 days.
Yep.
By the time we get to Wednesday, 10 days of what was his one clear policy, immigration. Now he's muddled that. And instead, when they announced this softening, they weren't ready to announce what that meant. And so is he going to go back to a very hardline position? Is he spending his time talking to the right voters? Why is he upsetting his base support with complicating an issue, which, you know, I guess, well, toning it down a little is one thing. Yeah. But he used the word softening, which has now caused him to have to give this speech in Arizona. And I will tell you, I saw Sheriff Joe on television. They don't love what they're hearing. They're still supporting Donald Trump. They haven't left him.
But they're trying to figure out what it means.
But what exactly? And this is the issue with Trump. Yep. What does he mean exactly?
Well, I think we're going to find that out, hopefully, in the speech. Logan, can you get any of the comments? Or I can read some.
Sure.
All right.
I got a lot of comments coming in. A lot of people, where the light and the darkness, and a lot of issues. If you're watching on Facebook, by the way, if you're just joining us, we are broadcasting in the power outage. Someone just asked, how is that possible? Well, the radio show runs on a generator, but the television side does not.
So in their new facilities.
Well, the question is whether the internet stayed up and those kind of things. But in general, that's just the truth right now. Power outage. But a lot of people, a lot of jokes coming in. Did the DNC cut your power? Is George Soros next door? A lot of people coming in with those kind of comments.
You know, it's interesting, too, as we talk about the politics. World Magazine, a Christian magazine, they survey about 100 Christian leaders, people that a lot of people hear on the radio broadcast, anonymously for the most part. Some comment, most don't. The support for Donald Trump was extremely low among these leaders back in May when he got the nomination at 22%. It's only gone up to about 45%. Yeah. Still, 55%+ of these top Christian leaders say they will write someone in rather than vote for Donald Trump. And he's been able to only increase from 22 to 48 because we've talked about that pretty good Supreme Court potential list he released. And a lot of them have said that's what would be the reason why, but he's got to kind of double down and they want to make sure that he's even being honest. You cannot win as the Republican candidate if your evangelical support from leaders and they're not talking you up is below 50%.
So what we're going to do when we come back from the break in a little bit is if you'll start giving us questions, we will actually take your questions via Facebook and I'll try to look at them and Jordan will look at them and Logan will kind of look at them because he's holding the phone right now. So we will get some calls. Let me, excuse me, also say this. If you are just joining us, we have filed another lawsuit today, this one against the State Department on the genocide issue, because we have shown, despite the statement from John Kerry, we have seen no action, including most recently in the UN, where it wasn't even mentioned, the issue of genocide against Christians, Yazidis, and others by ISIS. We're outraged about this, and we are prepared to embarrass the State Department, if you will, by taking them into court. We've done that. We will see if they respond. If they don't, we'll compel an answer. They may try to dismiss it, so we're fighting them. We're fighting Homeland Security on why they moved out Muslim references in that aspect as well. And it's also interesting, I think, important to know that we were on a conference this morning, early this morning, with a couple of our senior counsels, including CeCe Heil, who's our senior counsel handling a situation for some girls, young women, I should say, Jordan, they're really not girls, they're young women, that escaped Boko Haram, which is a terrorist group in northern Africa. They've come to the United States, but there's always opportunities for them to be manipulated. It's everything from sex trafficking to just abuse. And fortunately, some of them are at a well-known Christian school where they're doing great things. But there's a lot of pressure on these young women, and we've got a team working on that right now. And this is serious stuff.
Yeah, and this is all, again, now linked to this broader ISIS terror. And, you know, as we, again, are broadcasting through the dark a bit, it's important for everyone to understand that these groups that used to be somewhat aligned, but they didn't really have a kind of a base, a top leader, they've now got Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS. They've all unified behind him, and they are now all associated. Boko Haram in northwest Africa and al-Shabaab in East Africa. And then, yep, of course, you've got the affiliates of ISIS in Libya, throughout the Middle East. And that's their official. These are ground organizations. Yep. Then you've got the ISIS terror cells throughout Europe and even in the United States.
All right, we are going to go. Looks like Facebook and Periscope is coming back on. Our power's starting to boot up, so we'll clear the lines. And now you can call us at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We should have all our lines up and operating shortly on Facebook, so we encourage you to do that. ACLJ.org, of course, for updated information. In this next segment of the broadcast, you ask us to call a question about anything related to any of the topics. And if you got other questions as well, you give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your calls. And Logan, it's fair to say phone lines are wide open because had no phone line capability, and now we do.
Yeah, I believe so. Our phone line's open, working?
Yeah.
We're testing.
There we go.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. Even our clocks are working again. 1-800-684-3110 to get your voice on the air. And Facebook and Periscope, I'll talk to you during the breaks. We may restart again so it doesn't look all, you know, me holding it with my hand. But again, all the lines are open, 1-800-684-3110, and the power has resumed.
And phone lines and phones are starting to call, 1-800-684-3110, again, if you want to talk to us about anything. Our book, Unholy Alliance, hardback book, brand new. This book is out in September 20th, but you can pre-order it right now from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your book. It is Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and the Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's a must-read if you want to understand these issues. It's a great book, Unholy Alliance, and we encourage you again, order that book right now. When we come back from the break, we're going to take your calls. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign as well at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for. We encourage you to do that. Looks like our power is coming up. So, Logan, we may go down, is what you're saying, on Facebook and Periscope.
We'll find out. We'll talk to you on Facebook and Periscope on the breaks. We'll find out where
we're going. Yeah, so we'll know there. And again, if you want to...
Phone lines are jammed now.
Yeah, phone lines are jammed now. We'll go through those. ACLJ.org. If you want to support our work, I've got an email going out today on the genocide issue. We've got it now on the clock. So we're good. And again, that email and genocide issue is going out today. And our lawsuit against the State Department on the issue of genocide being filed today, because we can't figure out anything at all the State Department has done other than saying, we think there is genocide here. And what have you done about it? It looks like nothing. Back with more in just a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110 for the last segment of the broadcast. Logan, let's go and take the first call.
All right, let's go to Mark in El Paso, Texas.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Jay. I have a question. Does all of this fall under policy that a president has? And can he just, as a kind of like lawyers, just keep asking for continuance for A to Z and drag this thing out indefinitely?
Well, interesting, in this lawsuit and with the State Department, they normally ask for additional time to respond. They did not here. They just denied it. Jordan's theory is now that the lawsuit's being filed today, they'll come back with and ask probably for 30 or 60 days. They're going to try everything they can to get this past the election.
This is the biggest issue with taking on the government, and it's why most American individuals as citizens are so dissuaded to taking on the government, even when they have been wronged, is because when you take on the government, they get a lot of deference in federal court. They get deference because they're considered, oh, these attorneys are overloaded. But you know what? What the courts still haven't figured out, and as an attorney on the younger side of this, and Dad, I think you could probably some of these judges, because of their age, don't realize how easy this is technically for them to produce.
That's right.
The technology, this is not like having to go through the files in the 1980s or even the 1990s. They literally can provide a search and also remove the classified info within probably 24 hours of even a huge amount of data.
So
that technology, though, the courts just have not, because the age of many of the judges, they just haven't really, they can't really take that into account yet. Hopefully that changes as the judiciary gets younger.
So the law and the technology have kind of not caught up with each other is what's happened here. But we're going to press very aggressively. I mean, this is our second lawsuit against the State Department. We already have one against Homeland Security. Our office in Washington, we have a big office in Washington, D.C. They're handling it. That office is expanding, by the way. Again, when you support the work of the ACLJ, you're helping us expand those offices. So, again, we're in the last 3 days of our matching challenge, ACLJ.org. Logan, let's get another call here.
Tony in Long Island, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony.
Yeah, hi, Jay.
Hey, yes, sir.
Yes, I was just curious, would we know who the moderators are going to be
for the debates?
The RNC and DNC debates.
It won't be RNC and DNC. It's the presidential debates, and it's done under the auspices of the Presidential Election Commission or the FEC and the Presidential Debate Commission.
Yep.
So it's not like the Republicans and Democrats. It's the presidential debates. There's going to be three. We don't know moderators yet.
Yeah, we don't have moderators. We know locations, obviously.
All the networks cover it.
Yeah, all the networks cover it. Usually the moderators are a mix of people, you know, PBS, ABC. Not usually, but sometimes the cable news folks. It's not usually them. Usually it's more of the broadcast. And the campaigns ultimately agree on this, so they get a say as well. So the Trump campaign, the Clinton campaign, they've already agreed to the debate locations. Now they'll agree to who the moderators are. So, yes, sometimes these moderators have been accused of bias before, but ultimately the campaigns did sign off on that. The first one, just for people to know, is coming up right around the corner. We're just a month away, less than a month away from the – can you imagine that, folks? We are less than a month away from the first presidential debate, September 26th. That's going to be in New York at Hofstra University. Then the vice presidential debate, there's only one of those, so between Mike Pence and Tim Kaine, which I think will be a lot different in tone versus the others, because Tim Kaine and both Mike Pence have a very different kind of personalities, actually similar. So I think that will be maybe not as raucous as the others. That's October 4th at Longwood University in Virginia. The second presidential debate between Clinton and Trump, October 9th, scheduled for Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri. And in the third and final debate, October 19th, just a couple weeks before people head to the polls on November 8th, the first Tuesday in November to vote and cast their vote for president, is in Las Vegas, Nevada at the University of Nevada. So we know that. We know the location. We haven't had the moderators confirmed. We have had some back and forth from the Trump campaign about whether or not he's going to engage. I think ultimately, though, the debates will go on.
All right, let's go ahead and take another call, Logan.
All right, let's go to Laurie in Washington.
Hi, Laurie.
Hi, Jay. Thank you so much for continuing during your power outage. That was interesting.
Yeah.
That was Logan's idea,
I have to say. Give Logan full credit to that. A radio studio audience can't tell the difference, but those on Facebook and Periscope on the website sure could.
Younger lawyers are pretty smart. Not that you're not, Jay.
Okay.
Thanks, Jordan. Anyway, I was just watching your comments that you were making about Catholic University yesterday on Hannity and about what's going on there. Don't you think that there is pretty much a worldwide Muslim attempt to try to get rid of Christianity?
Well,
I mean, not just a genocide. I mean, obviously just. I'm not being sarcastic, but... What do you think?
Well, look, I think they want to eradicate every vestige of Christianity. That's why when ISIS and these groups, and not just ISIS, they go in and they destroy all the Christian symbolism. They destroy the churches. They destroy the monasteries. They go after the nuns. I mean, they go after the pastors. I mean, it's part of the process of which they want to do it. Look, I mean, it's submission is what Islam means. And they want everybody to submit to Sharia, everybody to submit to Islam. And the fact of the matter, at the end of the day, that's what we've got to deal with. So you've got right now an agenda between Iran and Russia and jihadists sharing the same goals for different reasons. And we've got that right in our brand new book that is dealing with issue. Called Unholy Alliance, which, as I said, is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can pre-order it now. It'll be out September 20th. It's hardback. I encourage you to get it. It's a hard cover to miss. I don't know if Logan can see the cover here, but it is a hard cover to miss because it's a picture of Rouhani and Vladimir Putin on the cover. So it's pretty direct. And it's an unholy, it's a very unusual alliance. Let's grab another call.
All right, Nancy in Indianapolis.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, I was had a question about Loretta Lynch, and we know that the corruption runs deep through this administration. Is it possible that she can be impeached?
Nope. At this late date, will not happen, right, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, technically, yes. But Congress is basically just working on a budget, and then they're out because of the elections. Remember, every member of the House of Representatives has to run for re-election every 2 years. So they're all up. And then you've got the Senate elections. Then you have the presidential election. So even more so than previous years, they basically come in for the budget in the fall. I don't even think they would technically. I think it would probably be a not due diligence for them to impeach this quickly. Because it has to go through the House, then to the Senate. So, yes, technically, yes, but it's so late that that's not where the focus is. The focus is going to be on the presidential election.
All right, let's go to another call, Logan.
Mark in Detroit.
Hey, Mark.
Six.
Quickly.
Great show.
Thanks.
I'll be very quick with my question. My question is about the Syrian refugees.
Yes.
The intake of all those. I think that the president's original quote was 10,000 he wanted.
Correct.
But I heard that he upped it to 100,000.
Hillary Clinton wants it a tenfold increase, which would put it at least 100,000. She has said that. She's made that part of her campaign.
Yeah, and interesting, they've just hit the 10,000 mark in the U.S. There are now 10,000 Syrian refugees. What we point out, some of these people, they're fleeing legitimately. Whether or not fleeing all the way to the U.S. is the best policy for them is kind of questionable because they had to travel through so many other safe countries. But to point out to everybody... the only 0.5% of that 10,000, so less than 1%, are Christians.
Yep. All right, last caller, quickly.
All right, Gail in St. Cloud, Florida.
Hey, Gail, real quick.
Hi. I've never been political until this year, but I'm an avid Trump fan.
Okay.
But my question is, when is he going to address how the refugees come in this country illegally and get food stamps, and they get loans, and they drop nice
cars. Well, he's supposed to address it Wednesday. I mean, there's been a lot of flack over his immigration stance because it seems to have waffled a bit over the last few days. I'll let Jordan quickly address it, and then I need to ask everybody to do something.
Yeah, you're talking illegal immigrants. Refugees come through a totally different process. You have to be fleeing not just economic hardships. So illegal immigration, we're supposed to hear it all from Donald Trump Wednesday. Should be clarified by then.
All right, folks, as we close the broadcast out, you are going to be getting an email from me today. Respond to it at aclj.org. We're in our last 3 days of our matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for it at aclj.org. And thanks, Logan, for doing the handheld Facebook. It's pretty cool.
It's the most lawless administration in history. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you.